This past week's daf was daf Samach Tes, the 10th perek Maseches Nedarim. Okay, we'll start around 5 lines down. Boy Rova, Yei Sheila Behekim, Oy Ein Sheila Behekim. Right, so Rova asks a Sheila here. Is the Sheila Behekim? Which means as follows, right? We know, we see many times that there's the concept of she'ela or by a neder, she'elas chochem. One can be oiker a neder. One can uproot a neder retroactively through she'elas chochem. So the one wants to know that. Is there she'ela by hakoma? I call kibushon on hakoma. You hear an av to a baal. That there's a din hakoma that says in the Torah to be mekayim a neder, neder ishtei, neder bitoi. Can one remove that she'ela, the hakoma through she'ela? Emerson is that we had this before in the beginning of the perek, which really was based on the maskon of the Gemara over here. I think Gemara was using the concept, and we'll even raise the question at this point. Hopefully, it won't be too confusing. the Gemara, previous Gemara, right? Recall in the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah, there are like 3 parts of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that the nether of Anay Merosa, the hafor is done jointly by two people, right? The father and the av. Both have to be made from...
You mean the father and the baal?
Oh, excuse me. Right, what I saying? Father and the baal, right. Yeah, the av and the baal, the orus, have to be made from the nether. And Mishnah elaborates... Right, that if one's made for the other, one's not made for it, it's not made for it. And then the Mishnah says that ain't so chloy marim hekem echem mehem. And definitely, one of them is mekayimit, then it's not move for him. Which the Gemara asks is a question that's unnecessary, of course. So the Gemara said over there that in the Chanami, say if the Mishnah is talking about a specific case, not so simple like that. It's all about a case where we really have 2 hafaras. However, the order of events was as follows. That one person was mefer, the other person made a hakoma. Yeah? Then he removed his hakoma through she'ela, and then he made a hafara. And that's the question at this point that, so now you have 2 hafaras, right? L'chor the nether should be moved for, and that the Mishnah says no, right? That the hafara doesn't help. But Akaponim put, but that Gemara is using the concept of she'ela on a hekem, right? Which the Gemara right over here asks as a she'ela. So the Ran over there told us that, the Gemara later on is going to come out that you could be she'ela on a okay, it's maskon, it's very good. But a question that the Mefarshim ask is that in as much that this is necessary to learn the Mishnah, so shouldn't the Mishnah itself be a raya that must be that you could be shown on a hekem, because that's necessary to explain the Mishnah. So what's Hakad the Shailam?
Well, right. Maybe the Rav is asking, it shouldn't bring the raya from, I think it was Rabbi Yochanan, right? Should bring it from our Mishnah.
Okay, let's say, right. Right. If that's necessary to explain the Mishnah, which the Gemara, that the Gemara only has 1 explanation in our Mishnah, so if that's necessary, right. Some of Farshim said that they might be an alternate terrace over here. Right, there's maybe a Yerushalmi which says a different teretz, different explanation for the Sefer of HaMishnah, and therefore maybe that it wouldn't be necessary to explain the Mishnah. So therefore the Mishnah itself is not a Raya, but once that we have the Maskana Zemora, we could explain the Mishnah in that way. Okay, we'll put that on the side. Alright, that Shachar had. But then let's come back to Mishnah. So we're learning right now the Mishnah whether there's She'ela on a Hakomu or not. Now the Ran tells us Toich Dvorov that in order for Shela to work, I mean the Torah was mechadish to us the concept of Shela by Nidorim. That's what the Torah tells us, right? This idea, the source to this halachon, Shela Schochum was said on a neder, on a neder. So if we want to learn to other things, the Chorish only works on something which has a facet of nether. The Ran says Hekim is Kein Nidra. When he's explaining the next step in the Gemara, the Ran speaks out, makes the point that in Hakoma we could hear a Shaila. We could hear a reason why it could work because Hakoma is Ke'ein Nidra. Ke'ein Nidra. Which gets us thinking. Let's back up for a moment. That what do we know about She'ela and where She'ela works, right? From our past experiences, not too far back. We know that the Shela on Truma, right? Right? Yeah, how did that happen? Where did that come from? Right? Is that Kein Nidra? Hafrosas Truma. That was a dover posture to the Gemara, right? The Gemara didn't somehow the Gemara knew that, right? Right? Remember in the previous sugya on the Afnon Tess over there, as far as Dov Sheishlo Matirin, Umar discussed that we had that a few times in the past, this idea that there is she'ela by truma, right? Person could undo his hafrosher's truma through she'ela. Right, so that's once we start dwelling on this over here, Taka, we have to go back to. Maybe go back to over there. I'd like to know where did that come from, and why is that more polished than this, seemingly?
By the truma, it's not a shvua. It's not a shvua that he made.
He made hafrosha. Right? No. It's hafrosha. Right? He makes it. You know, he sets aside part of the produce, and he makes it into truma. He's setting aside as from kriya shem truma. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing. I mean, it's not a nether.
Right.
I mean,
can I ask a question in the form of a hara?
Okay.
I mean, when you make truma, there's some kind of a chalos. You turn something into something else.
Right.
Maybe by a nether also. When you make a regular nether, you're turning a heter into an iser. There's some kind of a chalos there. Hakama, I mean, she already made the neder. What kind of a chalos are you making? Maybe you're not making any kind of a chalos. So if you're not making a chalos, maybe there's nothing to be shawl on.
Right. There is a point. Definitely is a point.
Get that, like I said, that was a horror. That was a shayla and a question, a form of a horror. So I don't know if what I'm saying makes any sense.
Yeah. So maybe you know, if someone has something to talk about as far as shayla is concerned, but that's just like a point which I talk about. I started to look into it, but I didn't get too far on that. Where that comes from, and why is that apparently more partial than this? Right, that's a point. But now coming back to the more local Shiloh over here, which Michael's touching on. So let's tackle speak through. I think we mentioned in the past, but we will open up this idea again. What taka is a hakama? Right? As we know that the result of hakama is a father or a baal is mekayim in it, then you can't make a hafara anymore. Right? But why is that so? Right, let's focus like on an av, right? In a simple case, when you only have one av or baal, there's only one person in charge, one person that has the power on this neder, right, of his wife or his daughter, and it makes the hakoma, and as a result of that hakoma, then he can't make a hafor anymore. So why is that so? So you know, one could taka. Think one of two possibilities, right? On the one hand, maybe he is creating something positive over here, right? I think we spoke of the idea that he's solidifying the nether, and that solidification, if there's such a word, is probably a chalois. I mean, it's not a full nether. But what it's doing, then it sounds like it's some kind of completion to the nether, and even in that, one could be mistopic. Does that mean that the nether of an isha doesn't have the same finality that everyone else's nether has? So a weaker thing, and that's why it's subject to hafara. And hakoma just brings it to the same level as anyone else's nether, or maybe even though it is a final nether, but nevertheless there's a power that the av and the baal have to break it. And what the din of hakoma is that it's a layer on top of that, right? We're cementing something, and that's why they can't be made for afterwards. So according to this understanding, then a hakoma is a chalois, and that's probably what the ke'en nidra that the Ran is referring to. Right? It's giving an additional power to this nether. The other possibility might have been that we also saw in this context, but the hakoma could possibly be just a vitor. Giving up, relinquishing the schos haforo, right? Maybe that's all it is, right? And according to that, you know, the taka wouldn't be nothing schal in the nether itself, right? It's just relinquishing the haforo power. But now, on that side, then there's no kei nidra over here, right? Like you said, it's not a chalois, right? So maybe one might have wanted possibly to use these two tzedotim to explain the Moreh Shailo, right? Maybe the Moreh Sgufo clearing at what is hakoma, right? Is hakoma something positive or not? Right? If it's something positive, it's kein nidra. So then that would be the tzad that it would have it in shayla. Probably we could take that tzad that it's a positive chalois and nevertheless have two tzadim, right? Since it's not a nether gomer, right? So we could have learned that the Gemara Shaila is that nether facet that it has, is that enough of a basis, a Taurus nether, that it should be subject to She'ela? I mean, the truth is that Achrei Kichlo Yisakol, after all is said and done, it would seem like you have to make a limud over here, right? You know, we don't have a pasuk concerning this, and we have the dinner of She'elas Chacham, and it's a question of making a mamathinu kinir, right? So at the end of the day, you know, Chazal b'chochmosom knew how to compare it and to learn it up, right? It's definitely not a simple. It's not a net by exactly the same before. It seems to be that it's at best, you know, you're solidifying, you're being goymer, right? You're putting a new layer, you're plating, right? Mm-hmm. That nether and the Maskanas HaGemara Chazal understood that this is Kein Nidra, and therefore we could learn it up. This, I don't think there's any specific source for this. This is making Muhammad Sino, I believe. Sakoponim. So those are what we can think about over here, right? So like as Michael raised, you know, if there is no chalois, in which I was explaining yet, maybe you know, as just a relinquishing of power, right? Maybe you can explain it otherwise. But I was explaining like that. So then I would agree with you, right? That there's nothing here, there's no kain nidra over here that you could take off. So nothing here at all to take off, right? You take something off, you know, it has to be, should have to be something to remove.
I mean, is there a time to say that you're making a neder that you won't be mefer?
But if that's what you're doing, so it should still work. No, you should just be over nisser, right? Just leave it out any time, right?
Oh,
right.
I hear you.
Right. You know, yeah. We know that it doesn't work, right? Whether also mutter, right? Right. But you know, it doesn't right. work.
Cool.
Right. So it should have to be more than that, right?
I'm going to put another question out there, and this might not be the place for it, so mm-hmm. you might want to defer it. But
okay,
we learn. She'ela lo yachol devaro, but we're going to see that by hakama you don't even need a dibur. Hakama belev works. So I'm just wondering. I don't know the place for that question because mm-hmm. it could be here or it could be a daf or two from now. But mm-hmm. anyway, I'm putting that question out there.
Okay.
Whenever it makes sense to address it.
Mm-hmm. 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 Okay. That's a good point. It's a point to think about. Okay, so let's come back over here. So we just spoke through what the possible stodom of the Gemara Shaila over here is benegay to She'ela Behekim. She'ela Behekim. Okay. Zok the Gemara. More continues. More says, "Intum stam yeshel behekem yeshel behefer, or ein shel behefer." The Gemara has a shaila concerning haforu. Kuam be shoyel on haforu. Now the Gemara depends this question on the outcome of the previous shaila. Right? That's the Gemara says. Right. So let's just feel this out a little bit. Let's just taste this a little bit, right? What is she'ela b'hafor mean? And the truth is, okay, all right, we'll come back around to exactly the nafkamina of these things. But let's just this here, she'ela b'hafor would mean that if the baal or the av made a hafora, could she'ela help? And through she'ela, so it would undo the hafora, and then the nether would resurface. And that's what we want to have over here, right? Now, the talking about the shale on hafora, I mean that what hafora does it nullifies the nether. Right, that's what it does. So really, there is really nothing here anymore. And this might be what the Ran means. The Ran does mention the fact that haforo is loyshayich she'ela. Right, the Ran mentions. Right, bishlama. That's the way he talks is that bishlama. That hakama is kein nidra, but hafora is not kein nidra. Hafora is a power to break and to nullify the nether. That's what it is. It itself doesn't have any. I mean, at least doesn't have a nether facet to it. We're saying even more that there's nothing here. There's nothing here. once it's done, to deal with. So how there will be she'ela on hafara might be a little difficult to understand. However, like this, that li'idach gisa, that we know the mechanics of she'ela are you know, it works the mafreya, right? So it's sort of making what you did originally into a toys. You know, it's something which needs a source. You know, it's not simple that it's like if there was a real toys made over here, that we need the power of the chacham, you know, koyach ha-Torah. But the way it works is by making that original thing into a toys, and that's how it could become retroactively non-valid. So that's possibly how it could at least talk to a hafara. If we could retroactively, that's probably true. That, you know, if we had a real toys, then hafara was talking not a hafara at all. That probably would be a real toys would be at the time of the hafara, nothing happened, right? That's what that would mean. And this the dinner of Shayla is that retroactively we could turn it into a mistake and thereby undoing the whatever happened then. Okay, so come back again. The way the Ran speaks through over here is that the Ran says he sort of asks a question, and you know how could it be that there is Shayla on Haforum? And the Ran answers that by saying, explaining more Shayla, which will need a little bit of explanation, maybe more than a little explanation. But the Ran tells us like this. The Ran says, well, maybe we'll see it inside, but to speak as in. The Ran says that there's a hekish between Hakom Naforum. There's a hekesh which the Torah compares the two things, hafara and hakam, with each other, and this hekesh is used in the Gemara for other halachas. And Zokteran, that's the basis of this Gemara. The reason why there could possibly be Shela b'hafara is because of the hekesh, and that's why the Gemara depends on the second Shaila, on the first Shaila. Being that the only reason why there could possibly be Shayla on Hafara is learned from Hakama, so that's why the Shayla of Hafara is dependent on what the outcome of the Shayla of Hakama is. Only after we decide, if we were to decide that there's Shayla by Hakama, so now we go a step further and say, well, since there's a Hekesh, so possibly we could send over that Halacha to Hafara also. But if you wouldn't have it by Hakama, then there's no way that we could get that halacha to hafara. Okay, that's the Ran says. However, like this, what we need, what the obvious question over here is that if the Ran meant, and it seems like that's what he's saying, that there's some part of technical problem that hafara is not subject to she'ela, so what does the hekesh help me? Right? That's the question. I mean, right? I mean, if the mechanics, you know, don't work, there's no thing, so then how could a hekesh, you know, make something work that can't work? Well, how does that work? And I mean, and the Ran himself says that. So if there's the hekesh, what's the question? So Zok the Ran, well, since it can't work, so the hekesh can't tell it to me. So then, like, what are the two stogma over here, right? In the Hanami, right? What it's not included in the hekesh. Hafor lechazile, I was le iskish. Right, so this needs some explanation, which maybe if someone has something to say over here, we would like to hear. Right, I don't have too much to offer on that.
Maybe.
Yeah, let's see.
I was thinking about asking a different question, uh-huh. But I guess you've probably answered it. The in hekesh lemechse. So the answer, I guess, would that be that's only when it can actually do something, but in the case where it can't do something, but. I mean, maybe then the shaila is how strong a hekesh is. Maybe it's strong enough to make a metzias that it finds a way to do something even when it's not possible. Mm-hmm. Or we think it's not possible.
Yeah.
Formally not possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm not quite sure the Ran says like this.
The Ran speaks through like this. Nir
Be'ena.
Which Ran? Right? In the Ran of Boy Rabbi Yeshil Behekim. I'm going to jump over the first part of the Ran, because we want to dwell on that separately.
I have a Imtim Salomar, that one.
Yeah, so right after that, Nira Be'enai. Nira Be'enai. Yeah, right. You know, he spoke out the Shaila of Shaila Be'hakoma, Shaila Haforo. Nira Be'enai.
Do you have the Musav Rashi on the right?
Yeah.
On the left, I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like almost at the end there. Maybe it says in the Musav Rashi, Lakam and Ayin Tes. It's right. Oh, sorry. No, it's down from there. It's a few lines from the bottom of the Musaf Rashi in mine.
And I think he has different.
I have a different.
Yeah, he has a different setup there.
Yeah. Which is the
Damascus boy Rabbo Yeshela Behekim?
Boy Rabbo Yeshela Behekim.
Right.
Yeah. You see that?
Five lines down from there. Four lines. Three lines down. Three words from the end.
I'll read it straight, just to note that, just to walk you through it, to get to where we need to get here. Right? Im kim haneder, you see that? We'll read it straight already. Right?
Oh yeah, im kim haneder, see.
Right? Im kim haneder.
Yeah, thank you.
Right? If the nether was niskaim, father, right, or about, v'nishal boy bayim ala hakim, and shale was done on that day, mi motzi meifer boy bayoyim, could you remove the hekim and therefore you could make a hafara now that the hekim was removed? Oy loy. Okay, we'll come back to this. That's the question over here, sheila behekim. Could a hekim be removed through sheila to enable to make a hafara on that nether? And if you were to say, to take on the side of the Gemara, that by Hakoma there is Sheila, now we could clear another Sheila, Yeshel Behefer or Ein Sheila. Okay? Nir Be'enai. Okay, we're there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Nir Be'enai. The Ran says that, in my eyes, this is how I see it. The Afagav, the Behefer, Lo Yishayach Sheila. He says that L'chora, it's not Shayach Sheila. And he explains why. Dibishloma hekim kein nidruhu. Hakoma has a certain facet of a nether, which means that you're doing something positive. That's what he means over here to this nether. All right, you're completing the nether. You're solidifying the nether. So that piece that is added is kein nidru, has a nether facet to it. Aval hafora loy. Hafora is just a nullification. Hafora doesn't have any Ke'en Nidra. So he wants to know that, so if Hakoma has a nether facet, okay, so that's the basis of the Shaila. That's how possible Shaila could work. But Hafora doesn't. So how could Hafora be subject to Shaila?
Mm-hmm.
Now let's maybe just be clear over here. So what kind of problem would you say this is? Is this a source problem or this is a mechanical problem?
So I understood it as a source problem.
Uh-huh. Okay, so let's see. So if it's a source problem, so let's follow through with that. It's a source problem, that means like this, that Hakoma is Ke'en Nidra, so you can make a Mamotzinu, and if the Din of Shela was set on Nedarim, well, this has a Nedar facet, so I could learn right from the Pashim Dante here. But Hafora is not similar to Nedar in any ways. I can't just compare, I can't just make a Mamotzinu. So what's the source? Okay, let's say like that. What is the source? It's a source issue. Okay, let's try to take that through. So if the problem over here is a source problem, so the Ran tells us that I'll show you a source. Right? What's the source? Mishum da'afor avakama iskish la'dodi, because there's a hekish. Rei ahukish to each other. Kamina kamon. He brings the Gemara. Shani hilcha da'makro ishi kimini shifirenu eshebo'uchal hekim, that which is subject to hakama bo'uchal hefer loy bo'uchal hekim loy bo'uchal hefer, whatever that halacha is, it's not relevant for us right now. But that is the hekish working. So zokteran now umishum hachi boy. And that's why the Mora asks the Shail, and Tim's Norma, the Yeshela Behekim, Behefer Mahu. Mora Shail is that were we to decide that the Shaila Behekim, so now there is a possibility to have the Dimbahafor. Mi Aminan, do we say, Nihi Delo Shaicha Be Shaila? True, that it's not Shaicha Shaila. Filohochi Aminan, the Yeshela, the Iskha Shadodi. Right? So, according to Shlomo's translation, what this means is that Nihidlo Shaykh Beishela means that that it doesn't have its own source, right? Doesn't have its own source, but there's a hekish. Now, the words don't sound like so much like that to me, but let's try to follow through. Right, let's say that means. Let's say that's what he means, right? Idilma, or maybe lemilse da'afora loychazile loyiskish. Now, how are we going to learn the second side? If we're saying mechanically, there's no problem. We understand how the mechanics could work. We're just looking for a source. So then, what's the problem? We have the source. We have the hekish. What is he saying over here? That what does that mean? What does it mean? It's loychazile. We were just missing the source, so now we produce the source. There shouldn't be. We shouldn't have two sides over here. No, it sounds like that there's some kind of intrinsic problem, and even though we have a source, but we're not so sure whether the source could do it for us. No.
The way I understood it is that the reason why we can't learn it directly from Shela on Nether
on Nether, okay, fine, right?
Right, is because it's different from Nether. So we have to do it in this indirect way and learn from Nether to. From Nether to Hakama, and from the Hekesh to Hafara, right? That's right. But the other side is to say is that, but just like we couldn't learn it directly, so since it's different from Hakama in its technicality, so therefore maybe we don't learn that Hekesh for this very reason that you can't learn it directly from Shaila of Nether, because it's since it's in a different parsha, right? So therefore we don't learn that hackish regarding this point.
See, if just a question of different, we know that that's really the advantage that a hekesh has over a mamatzino. All right, mamatzino, you can make differences, but a hekesh is it's hokish. Differences fall aside because the Torah is telling me that I should learn one from the next. So if that's all it was, usually a hekesh would be sufficient, right? That's why it seems like over here that there's a more intrinsic problem here, and that's what we're having our difficulty. That manushach, I mean, if there's an intrinsic problem, so a hekesh can't I don't know if it has the creation power.
Okay, where the rub is coming from.
Okay, fine. But I don't have too much more to say on that. Just to be ma'ur that question, maybe when someone chazes this over, you know, if you could see something.
It seems to me that that what the Rav is saying is is a good svar, but it's not absolute. So exactly, you know, where you draw the line of how far apart can a hekesh be from the two sides of the hekesh, how far apart they could be. That's what seems to be where he's where the shayla is. And again, this is Lameisa. We don't, it's the maskana is that we can't use the hekesh to do it, right? But but the Ron seems to be saying that there's enough of a hamamina that they weren't far enough apart.
Okay, fine. Okay, so that's what we have to talk about. That now, let's back up for a moment. Now, okay. So now,
you alluded to this before. Assume meaning if the Baal would come back and or the father and says you made this kind of a netter, a mefrilo, and then he finds it. Oh, that's not the netter you made. Oh, you made this other netter. That would be a telos gomor. You're saying that hafar would be a nothing.
Probably.
And what's not shy? So toes is shayach. Hatar is not shayach. Even though in some cases a hatar is ka'ena toes, or ka'ena toes would be shayach. And what we're talking about here is more of a harata, and that's what's not shayach.
So I would think I was assuming that the not shayich is step number one to get into the toys. There is a chiddush over here that we need the hatorah in order to make it into a toys. Right? It's not something which is intrinsically a toys which never got off the ground. It did get off the ground, and now you want to work with it, and I thought the pshat was that there's nothing here to work with, right? You know, you can't start it off. You can't. That's what I was assuming, which doesn't necessarily have to be. Maybe that's part of what we need to be mavar, that what is this lo shaycha. Right, what's the point that makes it look that the Ran talks about a lo shaycha? Assuming that my direction is right, that there's some kind of intrinsic mechanical issue over here which doesn't seem to make it subject to it. The Ran does talk about Kein Nidra and not Kein Nidra, right? Now, the not Kein Nidra, what does he mean with that? You know, does that make it that it's not subject at all, or that's just maybe a different using it differently? Okay, but this is all little fine points, which. Which at this point I don't have enough clarity to, so I'm just going to confused if I continue on. So I'm going to leave it at this if that's okay. Okay. So now I want to just discuss the nafkamina, right? The nafkamina. So let's go back to the first shiloh over here. First shiloh was let's say in hakama, right? You know, if someone made a hakama, and the question is, could you remove a hakama? Right? Could you remove hakama? Now, what does hakama do? Right? So, I mean, the nether's there, right? And even before that comma, you know, the nether aser, right? And you know, so the iser is here, and then, you know, if you're over the nether, it's punishable. So what hakama really does is hakama just prevents hafor. Hakama does something to nether that it's not subject to hafor. You can't nullify the nether at this point. So were we to take off the hakama, the benefit of that is that now you could be made for it. So the nafkimino, whether one could be shoyel on a hakama, is whether this nether could be made for the nether. Huh? Now the Ran raises a point over here, and the Ran, being that the nafkimina is whether you could be made for it, so the Ran reminds us that there's a halacha of Yom Shamay, that a nether could only be mufar in the Yom Shamay, right? So were it to be that, you know, the Av is Av Bal, you know, he's mekayem the nether, and you know, a week later, you know, he decides that wasn't a good idea, and he goes to the Chacham and he shoyel on it. So you're a week later, and you know, you took off the hakoma, but at this point, Zok Ran, it's too late. You can't. You're not in the Yom Shamay anymore, so you can't be made for it, regardless, even if he was to be able to take off the hakoma. Right? It's no different than if you didn't take off that, if you didn't make any hakoma. You also couldn't. Right? So therefore the Ran says that this shaila is only relevant, right? The nafkamina of the shaila is only relevant that if you are still standing in the same day. Right, the Yom Shamay, the same day that he heard the nether and he was making, and then he was shoyel on that day. So you still did the Yom Shamay. So then you could be mefer. Right? That's what the Ran tells us. Now let's think about this for a moment. Right, it's also a little bit relevant. Discussed this before. Maybe Shain already spoke about this before, but this halacha. That one can only be made for the nether on the Yom Shamay. Right? So, Nachum, how do you understand what that halacha is? What's the reason for that? Is the pshat, you know, at first glance, probably the most simple understanding of that is that the power to be made for was given with a time element. Right, that he can only has that power on the Yom Shamay. Once the day ends, then his power ends. Right, what do we call that? It expires. Oh, that's the word that I'm looking for.
Right. Say your battery dies.
right. So his power expires. That's what it is. Right. So once the Yom Shamay is over. That's it. Then he's like a foreign person, as far as Ned is concerned, right? That would be the understanding. That could be the understanding of that. There's another possibility, which we saw the Ran Taka mention such a thing like this, and maybe we have to know, you know, how do we know this? But the Ran says an idea that. If he heard the nether and the day ended, which sika that he didn't put up any, you know, and didn't show his dislike to the nether, so that in itself is showing an affirmation to the nether, and it has a chibus of a hakoma, right? Maybe like Michael was saying before, you know, you don't even need any positive dibur to make that, right? You know, he's expressing his rotten, right, in one way or another. You know, maybe by the fact that he could have been made for it, he wasn't, or regardless, right. But so there's a hakoma over here. now, if this is the explanation, right? If this is the explanation, so it could very well be. Therefore, that maybe that first thing's not even true, right? Right? Meaning to say that if the understanding of that ending the Yom Shamay, what happens is that it's Niskayim Me'elov. So therefore, it's according to that, there's no reason to say that there's an expiration date in his power, right? Because just like if a person would hear the neder, you make a hakoma, so he can't be mefer anymore, even though you know it didn't expire, but the power of hafara doesn't work on a neder which was hukum, right? That neder was strengthened, and you can't break it anymore, right? So if the understanding of the going finishing the Yom Shamay without being mefer is that creates a hakoma. So that's why at this point you can't be mefer it, not because his hafora power expired, but something happened to the nether that the nether in its mitzvah, that the nether was strengthened. The nether is not breakable. Like I was saying before, if this first thing is true, then the simple understanding that there's expiration over here, so then we have to know how the Ran, right, and know that there's more than that, right? The Ran before Matt discussed that it's this Kayim Me'elov, this other tzad, right? So if that first thing is true, that I would wonder we to say that, right? So by me, at first glance, it would sound like that the reason why the Ran said that is because he doesn't understand an expiration on it. So if there's no reason why it should expire, so you have to explain why can't he be made for it after that, right? And this would be the explanation. This would be the mechanics because it becomes hukam.
Right? What part doesn't expire?
His power. His power to be made for it doesn't expire. Right?
That's because of its Yom Shamo, no?
Oh, so really, what I'm just setting up over here is that maybe there are one of two reasons, right? They don't coexist, right? It's either or, right? Why after the Yom Shamay he can't be mefer? Is it because his power expired, even though the nether remained the same nether which is subject to hafara, but the problem is that his power to be mefer, right, expired. Yeah. Right. Right. Is that the pshat? Or the pshat is that as the day ends, the nether itself becomes cemented, right? So now he can't be mefer, not because his hafara power was lost, his hafara power is there. But the problem is that the nether itself became a nether which is not subject to hafara.
Yeah, so what is his hafara power good for anymore? Doesn't do him any good.
Practically doesn't help, but just like understand on the Yom Shamay, let's say he hears it and he makes the hakoma, right?
Right.
Does he have hafara power still today?
No more.
Definitely, he definitely does. He has hafara power.
Oh, if he's nishal on it, right?
No. He has hafara power, right? But we're just saying that his hafara power can't break it,
right?
In other words, he didn't lose his hafara power that he had from a moment ago. He hears the nether, right? Yeah. That at this point, if he wanted to be mefer, he could have made for the nether, right?
Right.
Now he chooses to be mekayim it. So I wouldn't say that he lost his hafara power. I would say that the nether was strengthened, and now hafara power can't break the nether. You hear?
I hear, but. You could also say that he lost his hafara power because he doesn't have it anymore.
He doesn't? No. What? He doesn't?
Because he can't be mefer.
So I don't call that losing the power, right? In other words, when you have $10,000, right? Today, yeah. You could buy that house. Tomorrow, the price went up. Does that mean that you don't have $10,000? You still have what you had, but the power of the funds that you have can't do what they did yesterday. But I wouldn't say you lost it. Right. So you know. So when you speak to a mechanic, right, he understands how things work. True. Bottom line, you know, you can't do this, but therefore you don't have it.
Uh-huh.
You have it, right? Right. It's just not going to work for you, right?
Okay.
Right. Okay. Right. Now, let's see what and if that's relevant to this discussion over here. We're talking about here a neder was made, right? And there was a hakama made, right? A week later, the hakama is removed, right? So now we're standing a week later with a neder that seemingly, right, we'll see. Maybe this is. Let's talk like this. That there's no more hakama, right? There was a positive hakama that was made, right? That's the hakama that happened to this neder. It was removed. Right? It was removed. Mm-hmm. So, at first glance, it would seem like this is a situation where you're standing after the Yom Shamay, mm-hmm. but there's no Hakama here. Right? Mm-hmm. We'll see whether this has to be. But I'm assuming that's how we look at this. Right? So this should be a nafkamina in these two things. Right? Because, so if there's an expiration date, right, on your hafara, so you know, it expired, right? You know, so, but if there's really no expiration date, it just has to do with the fact that the neder was hukam, so over here, there was a positive hakama that was made, but it was removed, right? So if the hakama was removed, so then l'chayra, you should be able to be made for now. Because we're going with the understanding that there's no expiration date. The reason why you can't be mefer is because there exists a hakama on it. But over here, we're saying that the hakama was removed.
So right? Maybe this should be told in yesh hakama achar hakama. He made a hakama, and then the Yom Shamo makes another hakama. That can't be chal now, but as soon as he takes off the first hakama, that hakama comes on.
You have to think about that. I wasn't so sure about that.
Before I said it, or after I said it?
Before you said it.
Oh, okay. Fine.
Right. From both sides, I was misupik that whether there is, do you have a memeladika hakama when you made a positive hakama, right? Is there like a second thing at all? I mean, I made a positive hakama, so that there's no male hakama.
So the other one doesn't come anymore.
Right. And from the other side of things, right, one could wonder that maybe this might have to do with what you discussed before, that the same shayla, which helps on my positive hakama, maybe that should help by the same token on the male hakama.
On a shika.
Yeah, right.
That's a question.
Yeah, right.
The hakama, the first one, I don't think should work. Right. The question is,
one should work. What does that mean?
In other words, assuming you're swara that there's an active hakama and then a passive hakama, let's call it. Right. So doing a sheva on the active hakama, I don't think should automatically.
Well, let's start with the first question. Do both things happen? When you make a positive hakama, is there also a passive hakama, which is chal?
I'm taking the tzad that there is. I was bothered by that question.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
Right? But if you say that it were to exist, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you just said that the hakama, the shame on the... And the act of hakama should also affect the second one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think the rope said that, but okay.
I said that, right.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I was wondering about that. Yes, so what do you feel?
So what we see from the, from the Gemara that where there were two active hakamas that you would need a second she'ela, or that the, you know, That if it does exist, the other one would pop in. Mm-hmm. So you see that a she'ela on the first one doesn't automatically knock off the second one. Mm-hmm. So at least you would need an active
So when we get there, we'll have to discuss that, because that in itself is a little questionable, right? Okay. Why didn't the same charota? It's the same. Same charota you had on the first hakama should talk to the second hakama. Right? We have to know exactly what the hymns it was.
If you make to the darim, right? And the svara.
Let's say there are two
separate the darim, not exactly the same thing, but the charata on one would apply to the charata on the other. Let's say that I didn't want people to think that I'm a person that makes a lot of nedarim, so therefore I'm show on the first neder. So I don't think that would automatically take away the second neder, even though the same svara exists. But you probably have to go through the paperwork twice.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Maybe that might be right. That might be right. Okay.
I want to ask something from a different point of view.
Mm-hmm.
The Ron makes a point. He uses a few words, you know, 10 or 12 words to make this point, which, if he wasn't bothered by something, I would think he wouldn't have bothered to make this point. So he obviously was bothered by, I assume, the Havamina that maybe you could do a She'ela many days later and then do a Hafara later, that he had to come to make a point to say you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering what was bothering him. Was he bothered because maybe he thought technically there was some way to think that you could do it, and he was coming to say, not this technical way? Or was he coming that he saw other Rishonim saying this other way, and he's coming to be lafuke these other Rishonim? And
do you see anyone who said otherwise?
Well, I saw in the Keset Mishnah that the Tur says this Shita, that after She'ela, a week later, you can do a Hafara.
Mm-hmm.
And the Keset Mishnah wants to say that you can be medayik in the lashon of the Rambam like the Tur, that the Rambam also holds this way.
Oh, yeah, okay.
There are those who argue on the Keset Mishnah on this Nakuda, because it's not so clear on the Rambam that that's what the Rambam means.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the Ron didn't have the Tur. So, I mean, he lived at the same time as the Tur. Maybe he did know the Tur. Maybe he was coming lafuke the Tur. But, maybe he actually lived a little after the Tur, maybe. But this is what I'm wondering. If he read the Rambam the way the Kesef Mishnah is reading the Rambam, and he was coming lafuke that reading of the Rambam, that's what I'm wondering.
I hear what you want to know. Right. I don't know. It definitely sounds like he is addressing this and making a point that don't think that should help. Right. Where was he coming from?
Rabbi Davis was discussing this a little yesterday.
Oh yeah.
Right? But I was wondering that if a person didn't know that you could have Shayla, so he heard about the Nevi today, and then next week he finds out that he could do She'ela, so does he have the problem of it's not Yom Shomo or not, right? In other words,
well, let me just be makdim to bring your Shaila into, let's say if a person didn't know that he could be Mefer. He hears the Neder, right? But he doesn't know that he can be Mefer, so Shem, you know, that's it, he doesn't matter, you know, we're stuck. Then he hears a week later that you know, so, you have the ability to be Mefer.
right, okay.
So I believe that the halacha is that in such a case, the Yom Shomai is only in as much as he's aware that he has the ability to be Mefer. Just hearing the Neder is not the Yom Shomai, and therefore when he finds out that he has the ability to be Mefer, that's when the Yom Shama is Chal. Now, based on that,
So, according to at least the Ram, that doesn't seem like that should be the issue, because is the fact that it's that he let the day go by, right? Shouldn't create this automatic hakama because he assumed that he couldn't be making mud another time because the first hakama was there. So when he took off the other when he took off the active hakama, so that should start the clock according to how the Rav is saying it for the Yom Shomo of the called the passive hakama.
Put this like two Yom Shomos. I mean, there definitely was a Yom Shomo.
Right, but he couldn't be Mefer, right? Just like he didn't, in the case where he
couldn't be Mefer because he was Mekayim.
What?
It's hard to say that if he can't be Mefer because of what he did, should stop the clock.
But the Shayla on that retroactively took what he did. In other words, he couldn't be Mefer then, right? But then he did the Shayla, so that took away that. So now that
okay, I hear that, but I would think. I mean, she'ela is really undoing something that you did, right? It would be hard for me to hear that whether you had the knowledge that you could be she'el should have any bearing, right? On that, on the Yom Shamay.
It's not the knowledge that you could be she'el. It's the fact that when you were Mefer, you lost the ability to, so therefore, the...
When you were Mefer, you lost...
Excuse me,
when you were making, you lost the ability to do Hafara.
Right.
So therefore, the fact that you were Shosek the rest of the day isn't an indication that this...
No, I wouldn't think it's so. It's hard to... I mean, that's only based on the fact that you're saying that you have this... that you could take it off. Now let's put Shayla on the side. Would you say that he was mekayim it? So now you know you seek the rest of the day is not any indication. I mean you did more than seek. You made a positive hakama, right? So we can't say that that your seek doesn't indicate anything, right? Now you're just working with the fact that I could take it off. Right, I mean, the fact that you could take it off, I would think, is that's a new new thing over here. That's something which is intrinsically here at this point.
I'm not thinking that you could take it off. Is
right.
That you did take it off?
So I don't see how the time clock stopped. How did the time clock stop? You did something positively.
The way the Rebbe is explaining. How passive hakama works is that the fact that you were that the minute before shkia.
Oh, one second. See, it's not a question of a time clock. I mean, I'm getting thrown off. You're not working with the time clock at all. You're working with, it's really the is that right? You're working with the side that your ability to make it really is forever. The problem is that a hakama happens
because that's what the Rav, I would say that that's a natural conclusion that if he didn't know that he had the ability to do a hafara right, and we said that that was what the Rav said is that yeah. if he didn't know that he had the ability to do a hafara and he was shosek, the clock didn't start yet.
Right.
The clock only starts
mm-hmm.
when he realizes that he has the ability.
Right.
So I would say that would be analogous to if he did a hakama and therefore actually did lose the ability to do a hafara. So therefore, no clock should be starting until after that hakama is taken away. Right, to me, those...
What clock starting? I mean, there definitely was a Yom Shammai, no? I mean, you want to stop the clock? What? Right? I mean, the Yom Shammai definitely happened, right?
The Yom Shammai happened, right?
And now, so now what's
and
stopping
on a typical,
the clock?
On a typical Yom Shammai,
right.
if you were Shosek till Shkia... Then there's a passive hakama.
Right. Okay. Let's say that's true.
That's in a typical case.
Now, if there's a passive hakama, right? So according to that, There's no clocks. There's no clocks.
Oh, but the clock is the passive hakama. It's the fact that he was shoseg pashkia, right?
What I mean to say is that the passive hakama is only once the Yom Shammai starts, right?
Yom Shammai started Sunday today, right? By Shkia today, if you're Shosek, you created a passive hakama because you knew that if you weren't if you didn't do Hafara by then you're not going to be able to do it after Shkia. So therefore, you're making a gilui that you're really happy with this nether, right? However, if you were making the nether at 12 noon on Sunday, right? Your shtika at 6, by a minute before sunset, isn't demonstrating any type of accepting the nether.
Right, you already did.
Well, at what point? At what point? Let's work through history as it happened.
Yes.
He made the hakama, right?
Right.
And at the end of the day, he's smiling, right? So you want to know what do you see from that smile? If you ask me, I think that he's very happy that he made a hakama. That's what it would tell me,
right?
But, could we say, well, he's seeking his comment? Maybe he really wants to do a hafara. Right? What I mean, he made a hakama, and things are carrying on.
Why do
you think something changed?
I would assume that he smiled at 12 noon when he did the hakama, and he wasn't smiling at nothing happened at.
Nothing should change. No, if he expressed his feelings, and I would think that the day ends, unless someone tells us otherwise.
The way the day ending creates the hakama, the passive hakama, is he knows that he's not going to be able to do a hakama in a minute from now, so his shtik at that point is ki'ilu, the smile coming across his face that I'm glad about this nether, right? But if he did a hakama at 12 noon, right? So there's no reason to smile at the.
Is that because his mind changed, there's no reason to make a passive hakama because there's more than a passive hakama?
There is no passive hakama. Not that there's no reason to, but there is no passive hakama.
There's an active hakama.
Because at 12 the nether is gone, right? It's not
gone. I mean, the nether is
solidified.
Yeah. Right?
I'm sorry. Right. The nether. Right.
The nether is solidified. Are you saying that the mechanics which create the passive hakama are not being fulfilled? The conditions of the mechanics, is that what it is?
Right.
He's not doing a hafara and allow it to slip by.
He's not doing a hafara at a minute before six. Isn't because he's happy with the nether. It's because he doesn't have a need to do it. Typically,
let's talk about that for a second. What exactly is the cause to create this passive hakama at second, that last second?
When there's no positive hakama?
When there is no, right? So what are the conditions which cause a passive hakama? So how do you understand that?
Again, we're all talking on the side that it's a hakama and not an expiration.
Right.
Okay. And the side that if he didn't know that he had a halacha b'afara, he can do it next week.
Okay, we'll come back to that in a minute. Right. Let's just focus on this right now. Right? So we're discussing the passive hakama, which happens when he remains quiet as the day slips through, right? So what causes that hakama?
Hey, shtika.
Okay, Why is that so?
Because
why
his shtika is like a hoda. There's another, we say shtika koda.
Okay.
So his shtika means that he's accepting what he heard.
Mm-hmm. So if that's what it is, so let's say he told us that he wants the hakama. Is anything missing as far as the passive hakama is concerned?
I don't think so. He said, I like that neder.
I want to know, do we have the grounds for a passive hakama here in addition?
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
No.
You're saying once you make an active hakama, then a passive hakama is irrelevant because
it might be
nothing more.
It might be irrelevant, but do we have the conditions? Let's say it will come relevant. Let's say the active hakama would come off.
If it came off,
so again, we just want to know intrinsically. We're not talking, you know, whether it makes a difference or not. Right? We're mechanics right now. Right? We're engineers. We're electricians over here. We just want to know whether the current is running through the wires. Right? You know, we'll figure out later whether it's relevant or not. Right?
I think if it was Makayim, then there's no relevance to passive hakama. But if that is taken off, now that relevance becomes activated again.
Mm-hmm.
That passive becomes activated again.
Okay.
Available again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And if you take off the active, the passive comes back?
Yeah.
So basically he's saying that it really is there, right? So I'm saying he's talking relevant, not relevant, right?
Because that's what the Rav asked.
Well, sort of. Okay. Well, what let's see. So, how do you hear this?
Right. I think how I'm hearing it is that once it loses its relevancy, right? So there is no positive hakama that happens.
Once it's not relevant. Okay, let's hear that.
You mean once the positive hakama was taken off?
Before it was taken off, his shtika at the
Does that mean to say that the condition of the a condition of the shtika creating this passive hakama is relevance? Relevance is also a condition. Right? Is that what I'm hearing from you?
And I'm saying that based on what I can't mention yet. We're
okay.
But I'm saying that's I could hear a svara the opposite way, but I would say that the male conclusion would be that that Yom Shomo is dafka and
is dafka what?
Is dafka the day you hear it, and not the day that you realize you can do a hakama, right? Mm-hmm. But if you say that Yom Shomo isn't dafka, and it's when you think you're able to do it, then your shtika creates a passive hakama.
The other way.
No? What?
Seems like the other way. That if you can do the hafara when you make the she'ela, and Yom Shama was lav dafka, then the passive hakama never happened.
Right. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Give me a second. Let's hear that for a moment. Okay, so let me just hear what you're saying. You see, you're explaining how the passive hakama is not chal, never happens when you make a positive hakama, right? That's okay. Now, I would maybe would word it like this, right? Mm-hmm. Like I asked you before, what are the conditions? What is the reason why the passive hakama is chal? The reason for that might be the fact that is that at that last moment you're foregoing the ability to be mefer, right? That's what causes the hakoma, right?
Is that an expiration? I don't know what you're saying.
No, I'm talking about. Good. Second. No, you're right. That it really is. I am talking. Why are you foregoing? Right. If I'm assuming right now that there is no expiration.
And I'm going to word it this way: meaning if all the end of the day does is it strengthens her neder, and you already strengthened it with a hakama, then okay, you already strengthened. There's nothing to strengthen it more. No extra strengthening. Again, we get back into this question of yeshiyik hakama or hakama, but. So maybe a mamela one isn't going to happen, like for the reason you're saying. It was already strengthened. You can't strengthen it anymore. It's strengthened. So now when you make the shayla,
so that's really relevant in to our comments, right? That right. The next gemara, right? Okay. If that's what it is, which the gemara seems to say that you could do to our comments, right?
But is that right? I mean, the question really is, it's not that the second hakama is chal, it's that it's standing there waiting.
Okay.
So the question, but we wanted to make a chiluk, that maybe that's only true when you make an active hakama, but a passive hakama doesn't have the strength to do
okay.
that.
That,
if you don't make such a chiluk, then yeah, I mean, we already have the right. Sheila of hakama or hakama.
Right. So you see, that's why I thought we were talking something more intrinsic. Not the fact that there's something already taking the spot, and therefore... But it sounds like you're saying that the conditions which cause the memel dika hakama were not met. So intrinsically, you don't have this memel dika hakama.
Right.
You know, it's the gilei harotzen. You know, or whatever.
That it can't be chal. There's nothing for it to be chal on. It can't be chal. It's that it's just not even there.
Right. You don't
because you need to get to the end of the day without doing something, and you did something.
Yeah, right. It will be based on the fact that right. See, I the way I was saying it gets a little involved in that. I think we could still say, it, but without getting into that. No. Basically, the idea is that at the end of the day. That you didn't make the hafara, let's say, right? That's what it'll be, right? And at that point, you couldn't make the hafara anyways, right? So then it's not showing anything. The fact that you didn't go ahead to make the hafara, I couldn't have anyways, right? So then it's such a setup like that. So you don't have the basis of this gili by not doing something if I regardless couldn't do it. So now where does that take us? So what we're just coming to get at is that if there's a memel dika hafara, a memel dika hakoma, and that won't be chal when you made a positive hakoma, and now we remove the positive hakoma, so then there's no reason why sometime down the line you can't be mefer. Right.
We had two explanations of why you should be able to be mefer 10 days later after hakama.
This is really one is the sad. That's really right. where this is going.
Right. One is the sad that there was no expiration because the clock never really started.
So this is assuming and that there's no expiration
on the expiration side,
right.
And on the tzad that the passive hakama just strengthens the netter and there is no expiration, then the passive hakama never happened,
mm-hmm.
and that's why when you take off the active hakama, so now you're fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are two
right,
explanations.
Right. It's basically just right. We're going with that side. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very good. Okay. So that could have been a possible explanation other than the Ran, and you see that the Ran holds not like that. Right. Now let's Taka speak through just might be poshut, but let's just speak through once we're over here in the second shaila, right? In the second shaila of the Gemara concerning haforah, right? Is there she'ela on haforah, right? What is the nafkamina of this shaila here? Right, a person was mefer, right? Was mefer. So the haforah, what that does is that it takes off the nether. So whatever the nether aser is mutter, right? The nether is not asering, right? And we're she'ela to help, so that will take off the haforah, and the nether itself would be revived. Right, and the issur of the nether would be back in play, right? Yeah, right. So would this be subject to Yom Shammai or not? Right. And it's the same way the Ran said that this all has to happen in one day. Would that be true concerning Sheil on Haforah? Right, so I would think that it should be, if you just follow it through, it should be simple, that it should not be dependent on the Yom Shammai, right? Because what you're doing is, I mean, the we have no problem with a Shela, you know, happening days later, right? The problem is just if you want to follow up and use a power, but the nafkamina in Shela on Haforah is there's no follow up necessary. It just means that the haforah went off, the nether is revived. So that could happen. That can happen later, right? That definitely could happen at a later date, right? There's no reason why that has to happen, you know, on the Yom Shammai. Maybe one could just wonder that so what happens now, right? You know, during that interim, right? You know, it was the last week she was assuming that the nether was mufar, right? So she was going and she was eating and, you know, everything like that. Now he retroactively took off the hafara, right? So what does that mean to her? What does that mean to her, right? Okay, yeah, right. You know, she's probably, you know, shaking, you know, it's whatever, right? Not probably.
I hear that question. I thought you were going to ask a different question.
Oh, yeah.
If you were only learning Hafara from a Hekish from Hakama, how could the Hafara have more of a strength than the Hakama, than the Shaylan Hakama?
So is it really a greater strength, or is it just a technical...
I hear. Okay.
Okay. So what would the Rav say if he does the Sheila on the Hafara and, you know, on the Tzad that it works?
Yeah.
Would he be able to do another Hafara, or, you know, again, this is days later. So he did Hafara on day one, then he did a Hafara, he did a Sheila on the Hafara on day two. Could he, till that end of the day, do Hafara again?
Mm-hmm. Okay, very good. Right. I mean, this might even be more, you know, easier to accept this one that you were saying before. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good. Improving.
Yeah.
Getting there.
Very good. Okay.
I want to revise my Hafara.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Okay. So then, this is the Gemara Shaila, and on that Gemara says Toshma Doma Biyochan Nishol Al Hekem VeEin Nishol Al Hefer. The Gemara is poshut the Shaila from a Memre D'Amiroyim, not from a Mishnah or a Praisa, from a Rabbi Yochanan. That means that apparently what was a shaila to Rava, Rabbi Yochanan didn't have a shaila. Now, whether he decided this on his own or he, you know, he had a kabbalah on that, right? Basically, I don't know why that was poshut to him, based on what. But I could pon him. But it sounds like that. Right? It sounds like he has no shaila. So therefore that means that, you know, as far as, let's say, like the Ran said, that the Hakoma has the neder aspect, and therefore I could learn from the ikar din of she'ela that applies over here. And in the words of the Ran, that since the hafara is not shayich to she'ela, so therefore the hekesh doesn't help. Right? Basically, just spoke out the, you know, the itzan that I mentioned before.
It feels a little funny that the Gemara said, I ask the she'ela from an Amara and answers the exact Shaila from the exact statement of a previous Amara.
Right. It's a little
bothered.
Yeah. What, how are you asking the question?
The Gemara could have just quoted Rabbi Yochanan. You know what I mean?
Rava didn't know Rabbi Yochanan? He didn't know the member of Rabbi Yochanan, so he asked the question and somebody came, oh, Rabbi Yochanan discussed this?
That's what
the Gemara has to tell us this?
That's what it sounds like. Yeah. Right. I guess we have to check our bikis, you know, what the how prevalent such a thing is. It's true, most of the time we're poshut from Memer Damiroim, but there definitely are Gemaras which do produce, right? The Gemara even sometimes uses the term "ma'idim boile." You know, to this tana is pshitale to another. You know, to this amur is pshitale to another amur. Oh. Right? So, you know, apparently the one who asked the shal didn't either he didn't know or he didn't agree.
Oh, okay. So that could be.
But it seems like the Gemara is using that as an example, right? It's as an answer, right? Not as a.
So, I mean, the Gemara is well, I mean, the Gemara is answering something like this. You know, is the Gemara using that to answer Rava, and Rava is accepting, or the Gemara is doing this lahalocha? Rava asked the shayla lahalocha. As far as we're concerned, we have a source that we rely on lahalocha. Now, whether Rava accepted it or not is a different. You know,
right.
You have to go to his besmedrus and see. What was hung up on the wall. But
isn't typically a tashma, right? Like the Rav says, Pshita, right? That would be a lesson of that they remain in a machlokas. It seems to be
so. If you learn the Gemara, that means apparently that you know he didn't. And I don't know the relation between Rava and Rabbi Yochanan. You know whether Rabbi Yochanan, Rava, you know would accept anything that Rabbi Yochanan said. But if you understand the Gemara like that, that sounds like what it's saying. That he wasn't aware that Rabbi Yochanan said it. And the Gemara says that, you know, Rabbi Yochanan said it. Okay, fine. You know. Yeah. All right. That's a bit of the technical aspect of this Gemara. But maybe if someone has some other information on it, you know, we could hear. Let's go a little further over here. Let's go a little further. Something more. Yeah. But Rabbi, kaim lechi. The Gemara is working with this premise. What am I saying there? Yeah, right, that you could be shoyel on a hakomo. And the Gemara so the Gemara says that if a av or a bow makes one hakomo, makes two hakomos. Now, after the first hakoma was made, so the second hakoma, more than you know, it's not immediately relevant, but it seemingly doesn't do anything, right? Whatever an hakoma accomplishes is already accomplished. So this second hakoma definitely not accomplishing anything. It is, you know, currently is zok the Gemara. Someone wants to know that. Okay, that's true. But were he to be shoyel on the first hakoma, so that first hakoma is off. So now is the second hakoma slide into place, right? So that's the Mara Shaila over here. Is that now as we said before, the relevance what's negeya when you shoyel on a hakoma is, you know, bye. Now you could be made for it. In this situation, we want to know that definitely the first hakoma came off, but whether you could be made for it or not is depending on when the second hakoma chal, right? And you know, you have to do a second shayla on the second hafar if you want. But at this point, now like this, the gufa shayla over here l'chayri is as follows that. That mitzad echot, there's no place for the second akonu to be chal, right? The nether, you know, already got its akonu, right? Now I'm talking right now. Assume like we saw in the time the Ran says that the hakama solidifies the nether. That's what it does. So shine that already happened to the nether. Right? You know, you can't do it twice. So seemingly the second hakama wasn't chal at all, right? Wasn't chal. So what's taka the tzad of the Gemara that it should be here tomorrow when you take off the hakama? So at first glance, we would think that what's the suffix over here? How could it be here? However, let's just speak through like this. Mitzaracher, we know that Lamaisa Shela works retroactively, right? So in the fact that it works retroactively, maybe that might have a bearing on it. And of course, this has to do with, you know, what the nature of this retroactiveness is. Right? Michael will, knows what that means. Right? But therefore, you know, the point that I just raised over here is that at the time, nothing happened. Shoshan, you know, it the second I come, I'm just dissipated. Nothing happened to it. So, how is it here when you're making your, right? How could it come back? So on that, I'm raising the point that, well, Maisa, it does go retroactively, right? So maybe in a chanami, if it was a question of going, you know, from Kan Habo, there'll be nothing over here. But since the Shela works retroactively, so, you know, maybe that could give us a reason to believe that even though it wasn't Chal B'Shayta, but so what? But if we're redoing history, and the retroactiveness will tell us that there really was never that first Hakama, so then the second Hakama could be here. That's on one side. Now the Idach Yisa, we want to mention something which is really on the opposite side of things. Right, which might be what the Gemara is bringing. But there's halacha we know, right, of ein iser chalalus, right? Ein iser chalalus, right? Yeah, that means that in isurei Torah, right, even in iser Torah, right? Now, let's say you have a behemoth meir, right? A behemoth meir. Right, an unkosher animal, right? So it has its isurim of behemet meir. Now it dies, and it becomes an avela, right? So it was osur anyways. So the isur avela is not chal, right? Right? You know whether that's such a good example or not, but just that the idea, the concept, an isur chal al isur. We had this idea, right, in Yivamis, so in Yivamis and Sechal Isser, right, the Gemara over there talks, by in Sechal Isser, that when the first Isser goes off, the second Isser is Chal. Now, that's not going off retroactively, right? But it's going off Mikan Labo, nevertheless, you know, it's Chal. And the Gemara really tells us this idea, right, which is something maybe we wouldn't have thought on our own, but the Gemara tells us that even though the first issue was chal and that the thing is already osur, so that's why the second thing can't be chal. Nevertheless, the Gemara tells us that the second issur is riding on that first issur and waiting to be chal when the first sister goes off. Now, I think what that means, we have to understand that I believe that there is some degree of a chalois which is chal, right? Because it can't just be waiting without, you know, without anything keeping it alive. So I think that the understanding of that is avada is that there is some degree of a chalos that it's chal now concerning, right? In this, that it has the ability to fully actualize if the first iser goes off. So you see this concept. So you do see this concept over here. Now, so we just sort of did a circle over here, right? Because we started asking ourselves a question that, you know, how is it possible to be chal over here? Like, we said that, well, maybe because it's mafreya, right? You know, so then retroactively it was chal b'shaitai. But then we're showing that lidach yisa, you find that there's such a loch that you don't even need to go retroactively, because by Yisurim, and it's chal yisur, but when the first yisur goes off, then the second one is chal. So it does work like that. And at this point, maybe what I would ask is that, you know, I think that we know the halacha of enis echal alisr. It would sound like even though we know that over there it works like that, but over here we're still misopic about that. All right, I don't think that halacha. Maybe have to check the sources on that, but. So what I'm just raising the shayla like this is that are we clearing the shayla even though we know that as concerning Yisurim, ain't it's a chal alisr? Nevertheless, when the first one comes off, the second one's chal, we know that that's true, and we're still misopic over here, whether over here it works like that, which this, you know, might even have the advantage, the fact that it goes on Mafrei, and still the Gemara is misopic, right, whether it helps.
The runs. The way the Ran explained the Gemara doesn't sound that way,
right? What do you see in the Ran?
Because the statement by Rava was just made by Shvu Shalochol, Shvu Shalochol, and nevertheless, it's we didn't have a Shaila there whether it works. The question is whether it's applicable here. Well, how's the Gemara answering the question?
The original Shiloh, what we knew Rava, and the question was whether we could learn from Rava. That's what you saw in the Ran.
That's not the way I was saying it, I guess.
That's why I wasn't sure. It sounded like that you were using Rava already, the Pshitusa, in the Shiloh of Rava. But maybe I misunderstood.
Rava asked the question.
And
the
right.
Gemara answers the question by saying, over in this other situation,
right.
Rava said, "Im nishal rishona shniya chala."
Right. So you see that the Gemara holds that these two things are comparable. Those two things are comparable. That and this, what this means is that as a result of she'ela. If something is able to be chal as a result of she'ela, so that could be chal. That's what I see from this gemara over here, right? If it's the gemara is accepting this comparison.
I mean, did Rava accept Rava's din in the first place? And he was only asking. He says, "Yeah, of course, over there by Shvu Shalochol Shvu. I know. Of course, that's
oh,
the din."
So then, you're right. So if he knew that, then the Gemara is not doing anything, right? Unless the Gemara is just arguing on him and saying that no, we feel that it is in comparison, and your Shaila doesn't start.
Right.
The Ran doesn't mention in the Gemara Shaila knowing Rava, right? So that's why I didn't think that Rava said, "I know Rava, but I'm still Mesupik." So don't tell me Rava, and the Gemara says, "Yeah, I'm telling you Rava, right?"
Right. Yeah, it doesn't
sound
like a difficult.
Right. See, it sounds like Rava maybe didn't know Rava, and the Gemara says, "Well, you know, Rava says something similar, and we feel that this is a comparison, right?" And I don't see anyone arguing on the comparison openly, right?
Can I suggest something?
Yeah.
And you'll tell me if you can vehemently argue it. Rava asked a question above, which essentially was, to what extent is... I mean, I'm not sure what was Rava's question above. Did Rava only ask the first question, yes, she'ele behekim, and then the Gemara asked the question, imtim salom or yesh... I'm not sure. Or if okay. Rava asked the whole question.
Okay.
Let's just assume, sorry, on the first side, that he asked the... He was just asking whether there's she'ele behekim.
Okay.
So he's really asking, to what extent is Hakama like an eder?
Okay, let's say, right.
Okay. And then they answer him from Rabbi Yochanan. Then Rabba asks a question, which is essentially a similar kind of a question. But I don't know, maybe it's a different question. Let's say it's a different question. But now you have an answer from Rava.
Right.
And the answer from Rava is an answer by Neder. So who's stelling it over now to Hakama? Is the Gemara stelling it over, but Rava himself wasn't so maskin, and that's why he has the Sheila above, because he doesn't really... Rava made a statement that his yesh, you know, yesh neder chal neder, by shvur shel ochel, shvur shel ochel. Was he maskim to bring it over to here to answer Rabba's question?
Well, let me ask you, what is the basis of this shaila here? The current shaila that we're talking about. What is the crux of the shaila? How would you understand? It's a she'ela shaila, or it's really a shaila in the initial making of number two?
I think the initial making of two, that's what I
would say. So, as I say, it's not really a she'ela shaila.
True.
So it's not relevant to the previous issue. Right?
No, I understand that. But the answer to Rubba's question is based on a din and neder.
The answer, the previous, the Rubba Shaila upstairs?
No, Rubba is with a H. Rubba, that's how I'm saying it.
The answer to Rubba's Shaila is...
Is using a din in neder, is that true?
He's answering with a din in neder. Is that a din in neder?
Shvu shalocha, shvu shalocha. No, that's right. What Rava said.
I understand, but is that a din in neder? Is that a din in neder? I'm not going to ask him. He's fine, but Issachalusa has such a halacha, right? So is that something which is itemized? Not itemized. It's specialized. It's specialized to Shvu'a Nedarim.
Okay. So you're saying that he made a much bigger, when Rava said it, he wasn't saying a din in Nedarim. He was saying a bigger klal, and that answers our question here in Nedarim. And who a din, now the Gemara is saying, but who a din, it answers our question here. Even though Hakama is maybe not like an Eder.
I'm not sure I understand why it's not a din in neder that he's asking.
Who?
Rabba down here.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, I think everybody accepts the call of...
His shaila is...
Halal Iser, right?
Right.
So the question is, if you make a second neder that initially can't be... So
let's say, he talked about Hakama. Let's say Hakama would not be... Neder, right? Without getting into the problem that therefore, you know, Shaila wouldn't work on it. But just discussing the thing, because the crux of the Shaila was saying is whether the second one is Chal. Right. Now, it's relevant if you take off the first one, however you take off the first one, right? But the real Shaila, right, the place where the Shaila is Chal is right away, right? Whether, is this second thing Chal over here? Right, that's where the shiloh. That's the shiloh is now. Does that have to do? Even if Hakama wouldn't be a nether, right?
You could still, even if what?
Even Hakama wouldn't be mitam nether. I would think that you could still clear the shiloh. No, the shiloh over here is whether this chalois, whatever it is, of Hakama, is the second one chal to the degree that when the first one comes off, he's still here to actualize, right? To that's the crux of the shaila. So we would refer that as a nedarim shaila.
A neder shaila. By ear, you're saying it's not that way. You're saying that again, when Rava said what he said, he was saying a much bigger klaladika thing. He came to answer a question in nedarim, but he wasn't saying a din in nedarim. So now, hu adin, just like we had this klal over there that we could apply to nedarim, we can apply it over here. Because it's a big, huge klal.
So, but where would it apply in a non-nether situation?
I'm showing you, Yisrachal listed such a thing like that. Right? So the concept that something could be chal in a secondary form, that it's chal to wait for later when it'll grow.
Like we had two sisters. Right?
Like Achosisha goes off, and then the Eshasach comes on.
Right. So this concept, right? The concept is definitely not. To me, it sounds like on the contrary, it sounds like that even though we know by Yisurim there's such a halacha, right? We don't know whether does Nedarim, because of its weakness for some reason, have that, right? Right? I would suspect to say, possibly, that maybe the Gemara Shaila is that in Issa, which is in Issa HaTorah, you know, has that power, you know, to be chal to that extent. But maybe, something which the person himself makes, it's a product of a person, maybe the Gemara is so big whether you could do that, and the Gemara is saying that also works. But the maskana of the Gemara is definitely not something which is only by an eder, like I'm saying, right? Because I see by his chalis, it has that also. That's how it seemed like to me over here. Very good. Okay, that's what we have over here. This is halacha. Now, let me just think for a second. Once I want to mention a point. Wanted to mention a point. The original shaila, right? The original shaila of being shoil on a hekim, okay? I wanted to know that. I mean, we discussed this. In a simple case when you have an av and a. An av or a baal after nesuin, baal. Let me just see again what I wanted to know. Okay. I'm not going to go there. Not really relevant. Now that I think about it. Okay, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Okay, let's back off that. From that, let's. Now I want to go. We don't have so much time right now, so I want to jump to the next shaila. I'm going to jump over this middle piece, if that's okay. Okay, so we just turned to Amud Beis, and we are right now 6 lines from the bottom. Okay, boy, Rabbo. Right, this is a rabbi here. Kayim umufer lechi bevasachas mahu. Right. Now it's mevorin the more like this. What he did over here was, however he worded it, however he did it around, you know, helps us over there. But he made a hafora and a hakoma simultaneously. I don't know. You know, he did recall that the mice, right? Right, and the question over here is what happens? What happens when someone does a hafara and a hakama simultaneously? Now, definitely these two things that the Ran says are a contradiction one to the next. They can't coexist. One has the nether, solidifies the nether, one nullifies the nether, right? So these are contradictory. Of course, they can't coexist. Now, what is the Gemara Shaila here? So it seems to be from the Ran that the Gemara Shaila is that is one of the two chal, right? That I think I understood what the Ran was saying. The two tzadim are like this: is that there's like two general tzadim, and then maybe. So the Gemara Shaila is that let's start from the easy side. Maybe nothing's chal, right? Maybe nothing's chal, or maybe one of the two is chal, and possibly we don't really know which one is chal, but we have to be chayish that hakama was chal, and then we're stuck with the nether.
Misafik.
Right?
What would be Misafik again?
Possibly that Kama's Chal. He made a Kama for a simultaneously, so both can't coexist. Now the possibilities are either being that they're contradictory, so nothing's Chal, or maybe one of the two is Chal, that maybe somehow, you know, in the conflict between the two, you know, one is Mizgaber, right? One overpowers, and, you know, it's Chal. Mm-hmm. There's no first. That's the point over here, right? We're activating them simultaneously, right? So if one of the two is Chal, so if the Hafor is Chal, there's no nether, you know? Eskuzun to hate. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, it's possible that, on the contrary, that the Hakoma is Chal, and not only is the nether Osir, but you can't even be made for it anymore at this point. Right?
And then the third is a Suffolk. There's really three options here.
Three options?
Neither wins out, one wins out, or it's a Suffolk. And so we go Lahumra.
So I would say that's really part of the second side, because I don't think you're ever not going to know which one is chal. So on the side that one's chal, I think it'll be a sofik, and we have to be, you know, chayish for the sofik. Is that right? Is that how you understood it?
Well, I mean, that's only if you think one's going to win out, but you don't know which one. But maybe you know which one.
Oh, so I didn't think we knew.
Are you going on the Rambam?
If we knew, well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll get to Rambam in a second.
Okay.
Right? We'll get to there. So if we knew, then we'd have another two tzadim here, right? Because right? Because maybe one of the two is chal, and we know, right? Either we know it's that, or we know it's that, right? Or maybe only one or two is chal, and we don't know, right? Or else, nothing is chal. Okay. Okay. Zog the Gemara. Toshma, Domer Rabba, Kol Dovish Enim Zachzach, Filvavachzachas Enim. Now, this, right, in the technical aspect over here of what's happening in the Gemara is a little difficult. Rabba himself, same names, right? Right? Rabba cleared the Shiloh. Toshma, right, the Gemara's poshit. That Rabbah, I don't see any changes of the Girsois over here, right? Does anyone have a change of names over here?
No.
No, I don't have that. Rabbah. Right? It's all Rabbah. So how do you learn this Gemara over here? Rabbah cleared the Shaila. The Gemara says, Toshma, the Gemara references Rabbah himself, right? Rabbah himself said this cloud, Kol Sheinim Zeach HaZeach Fil B'Vasach HaSeinai. Anything which couldn't happen in order, in a zeh achar zeh, one after the other, so by making it happen simultaneously, it can't help. And therefore, says the Ran, that what the Gemara means to say is that being that it's, that were we to try to make each of these, one after the other, the second one would not be chal. Someone makes a hafara, then hakoma can't be chal afterwards. If you make hakoma, hafara can't be chal afterwards. So therefore, that causes that therefore, even if you make it as simultaneously, nothing happens. And therefore, that's where we stand. Nothing happened over here, right? In this nether remains as is, and we could carry on as far as this nether is concerned, as if nothing happened. That means the Isser is still, Be'isura, but it's subject to Hafara. That's how the Ram learns Maskonas HaGemara. Okay, and then what we just meant to be more over here is that how you understand this. The same Rab over here, right? Rabba said it. Right? So, do you understand that Rabba had not yet said his second memra when he declared the first thing? And in the Chanami, once he said that, this Shaila falls off. Or maybe Rabba was not so sure whether the second memra is relevant to the first, but the Gemara held that it was over here. And these are just a few, and it's starting to figure out what happened in the Gemara. But let's just discuss something for a moment over here. The Gemara tells us a cloud called Emzach Zafil Vasach Hazenu. Now, primarily, right, I mean, where the Gemara was this sugya. Remember, we had this sugya, this sugya in Kiddushin, Aaron, right? Let's say the Gemara talks about Kiddushin, right? A person's mekadesh achas mishtei achoyos, right? A person, actually, I don't know if I've said it right. A person tries to mekadesh two sisters. And the suffix over there is that izakoponim one chal, and you're not going to know which one it is, but is one chal. They both can't be chal, but maybe one's chal. So on that, the Gemara says this rule that since it's ein bezach hazeh, were persons mikadosh one sister and then come to mikadosh a second, it wouldn't be chal because of the halach of leitafsi by an isekoris and erva, the din is that it's not tafsi, the kedushin it's the iser ever prevents the hatfosa. That means that the kinyan that the kedushin normally creates can't be activated. So if you say it doesn't happen. Even Vasachas, which luchayra means, I would think that the understanding and explanation of that is that the same reason why it can't be chal b'zeh achazeh, so too that happens in a Vasachas. The fact that one doesn't allow the other one to be chal in zeh hazeh. So even if it wasn't actually chal already, but it also prevents it from being chal. Each one prevents the other one from being chal in a basachas, which maybe is not so simple to see why that has to be. Right, so maybe I'm understanding it wrong. But on Koponim, that's what I thought.
Was bothering you why they can't be chal together if one can't be chal after the other?
I was explaining it. Maybe you understand it differently. I was explaining Kol She'em Zedach Zedach Ha'enoi. Why does that follow? So I was understanding that the reason why that follows is because the reason why Bezach Hazeh it's not chal, that reason is applicable, and that same reason is the cause for the basachas, why it's not chal. Kol she'en b'zeh ha'zeh, right? Or maybe we should back up for a minute, and maybe I shouldn't already take on an assumption. Right? That means if a person was Mekadesh one an Isha, and now he wants to Mekadesh his sister, it's not Chal. Right? The fact that he is already Mekudesh to the first one, that prevents the second one from being Chal. Now, the Gemara says that based on this premise, so if he would come in the first place, and simultaneously he would try to Mekadesh two Achayis, right? Nothing would be chal. Kol she'en of zisa. It sounds like the Gemara that the Gemara is saying kol she'en of zisa. Well, like, okay, first step, like Gemara, that's just giving us a rule, right? The rule is that if anything which zachaz is not chal, so to bas achaz is not chal. Now, why is that so? Is that for a different reason? But it just happens to be, you know, if you want to, in Shulchan Aruch, you know, you put it down, this is your rule, right? You don't have to do too much thinking, right? You know, this is the rule, right? This is just how things work. But it's for two different reasons, or it's really the same reason. It's not just it happens to be, but the same reason why Zeh HaZeh doesn't allow.
Meaning whatever's Moneya one to be, for the other to be Chal, when you do them at the same time, that mania is the
right,
same mania.
Yeah, right, exactly. Right?
Or no, really, they could have been chal, and it's a whole new din.
Maybe it's a new reason. It just happens to be that, you know, it follows, you know,
Maybe you would have thought, even though one after the other, it can't be, but when they come at the same time, Tucker, they're both... fun. They're equal, and therefore they can both go in.
Maybe not both, but one. Just one.
How do you know which one if they're bavasachas?
You won't know. Oh. Right. It's a suffix. Mufli more than it's the same idea. Right. It's a suffix. We're never going to know which one, but I'll call upon him.
Okay.
Right.
I'm not sure how far you're trying to get on this. This is a big time.
Right. So, but I just want to raise a point. Is like this: is that in the Ikar Klal, also we have to ask ourselves again from the sugya of Isurim, right? I think we're also a bit so familiar that the halacha is enes achalisa, right? Yeah, but we know that there are a number of situations where we could have a second Isser to be Chal. Isser Koylel, Isser Moisif, and the Mor also tells us that Bas Achas, it's Chal. Right? Okay. So what happened? Chol She'en B'Zachazeh, Afil B'Bas Achas Enoi. Right?
Did you just answer? You said even Achar, by an Isser Koylel, or Isser Moisif, you can be, because it's being Moisif.
That's or only if it is, but Bas Achas is not, it's not a Moisif and a Koylel. And
oh, because the lesser one didn't have anything?
Yeah, you know, if you don't have those aspects, you know, you only need to talk about Isser Bas Achas only when you don't have the other, right? So Isser Bas Achas is Chal, even though it doesn't have the Koylin and the Moisif. It's Chal. It's Chal.
If it's Makadosh one sister, that Kedushin takes effect, right?
Right. Anyway,
now he's Makadosh the other sister, so the second one doesn't take effect, but the first one doesn't fall off, does it?
No.
It stays, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Zachar Zeh is a little different than the Vasachas. Because Zachar Zeh, the first one's Toifas. But the Vasachas, it's not.
Yeah. Right. So when we're saying Kol She'en Zachar Zeh, we're referring to the second one. The second one has the issue.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. So we just raised the point over here, and this opens just things up a little bit for us. So again, there's a klal called she'enim b'zach z'afil b'zach z'enoi, which seems to be that if something can't be chal one after the other, the second one can't be chal, so you're not going to gain anything by synchronizing them and making a bas achas, right? That also won't be chal. That's the Mor says. That's the klal shei pichum Mor. And we're asking a kasha that there's a contradiction to that klal from Isurim. Isurim that Halacha is bas achas, it's chal. So lechora, what that lechora tells us is that when we say this klal, we have to really see what's the reason why it's not chal zeh achar zeh. There are different reasons why things are not chal zeh achar zeh, and we're talking about something which a certain type of reason why it's not chal zeh achar zeh. That's where it's not chal basachas. Now, let's say by arayis, right? Arayis, the pshat is over there that it's like a contradiction, right? One to the next. That if a person is mukudish to this isha, so that causes the other one to be an erva, and there can't be a hatfoso, right? One to the next. Just like maybe even simply without getting imoy bitoy, right? Even without going through right? A person was mekadesh bitoy. It's not chal, right? Because since she's an erva is something which intrinsically there's something which distances them from each other. So therefore, this connection can't be chal. Right, so being that they oppose each other, right, so that's why it can't be chal. There's some degree of a contradiction over here. So that's where the halacha is that if it can't be chal zeh achar zeh because of that contradiction, so bas achas also won't be chal. Which I was understanding that the contradiction exists in the bas achas and that prevents the bas achas. From the chalais being chal. Now let's say by yisurim, right? Why is it that ein isa chal al isa? Is that because of a contradiction? No, not a contradiction. The problem, the din of ein isa chal isa really has to do with the fact that it's already nesar, right? Since it's already nesar, so there's no mokim, there's no heter for the second isa to be chal. Right? It's more like a technical problem, right? That there's no mokum for it to be chal, but it's not necessarily a contradiction. So, therefore, that if you do a bas achas, so then it could slide in there, right? Because at the time of the chalois, it's not still vacant, right? Right, that's what it seemed to be the halacha over there. So what we're coming to say over here is that the halacha of kol she'enu b'zeh zafi l'zachas enoi, right? You see that it's definitely seems like it's dependent on what's the reason, what's the nature of the enoi b'zeh chazeh, right? And that'll not in all situations of enoi b'zeh chazeh. Leads to a basachas enoi. So now let's go back over here and let's take a think about hakoma and afor, right? Hakoma and afor. So when someone makes a hakoma, right? Hakoma. So he's solidifying.
Right? Okay. I'll listen to the rest, but
okay.
Don't stop. But I
okay. Is someone makes a hakoma, so he's solidifying the nether, right? So that nether right now is strengthened that haforo can't work, right? I would see that as like a contradiction over here. He's strengthening the nether, right? Is causing it that it's not subject to hafar anymore. But on the other hand, that when if you're mefer a nether, right? So why is it that you can't be mekayim it, right? B'chara, you can't be mekayim it because the nether's not here anymore, right? That's all. It's not necessarily that the hafora, you know, is a contradiction to hakoma as far as how it presents itself in the nether. So therefore, according to what we discussed before, that it's possible that this rule, right? Try to see if you can follow through. This is a little right? that rule might not be applicable both ways, right? So in our situation, someone makes that comment, afora, kol she'enim b'zach hazeh, afilo b'vasach hazeh, is that true that hakoma is a contradiction to hafora, and if hafora can't be chal, but maybe the other way, it could be, right? Because hakoma can't be chal after hafora only because there is no nether, but there's no intrinsic contradiction, right? The Rambam Shita is that hakoma is chal. That's what the Ram refers to the Rambam, right?
He says that after hafara, hakama is chal.
No, he says basachas. The Rambam holds that basachas it's chal, right? Basachas is chal. Okay, so I'm just telling you, I'm telling over the Rambam. Based on this, that we can understand the Shita's Rambam, because there's a difference. I think that's how Chaim explains the Rambam, right? You saw the Chaim on this Gemara?
Yes, yeah. I did see. Yeah.
Right. That's so we're just giving you the setup, right, and how that works. That being that there's a different reason why hakoma can't work after hafara than when hafara came after hafara, and the nature of the reasons is two different reasons. One's more mitzad a contradiction. One's not really a contradiction. One might be more a technical aspect. So therefore, the rule of basachas enoi only apply one way, not the other way, and that's why it's possible that the Rama could come out of his Gemara that the Kom is Chal, Nafor is not Chal. Okay, we'll leave it at that.
I saw that Rav Chaim, he wants to say that the machlokas between the Ran and the Rambam is that the Ran holds, if Mamela they can't be at the same time, then you say this din of, and the Rambam holds only if it's ma'akev the other, but if Mamela can't happen, then you wouldn't say this din, right? Mm-hmm. That's what I'm just reiterating what you said. It occurred to me the following, is that all of this is really when you just talk about the Baal alone or the Av alone. When you talk about the Aris and the father together, you actually could have a hakama after a hafara. You can actually have one. Whereas you can't
have a hakama after a hafara.
So one of them makes a hafara and then the other makes a hakama.
Right.
Mamela, you can actually have a hakama after a hafara. Now, whereas the other way it doesn't work. If one of them makes a hakama, everybody agrees the hafara after the hakama is a nothing. So the hakama is for sure ma'akiv or hafara, but a hafara is not ma'akiv a hakama. Now, there is a machlokas here possibly between the Ran and the Rambam, because if one of them makes a hafara and the other then makes a hakama, and then he's shoal on the hakama, right, the Rambam holds you can't do anything anymore, because right, and the Ran holds like the Ramban that no, they can now both be mefer again.
Right, right.
And one possible way to understand the difference there is that the Rambam holds that the original hafara is still there, and the hakama didn't get rid of that hafara at all, and so you really now have a hakama and a hafara existing at the same time. Whereas the Ran might understand, no. The original, when you made the hakama, the original hafara is batal completely. That hafara goes away.
Okay.
And therefore, you really actually never have a hakama and a hafara existing at the same time. You can have, right? Meaning the Rambam holds, you can have a hafara and a hakama existing at the same time, because you made a hafara, then you made a hakama, and it's not mavatal, the hafara. It's still there. And so now they exist at the same time, and that's why the Rambam might hold that a hafara is not ma'akiv making a hakama, and that's why the hakama is chal, bavasachas. Whereas
so
the Ran,
these two sugis over here?
That's what I'm connecting those two sugis.
Yeah.
To say a different explanation of the machlokas between the Rambam and the Ran, not to my benefit, but you know, not like Rav Chaim, which is always not a great place to be. But now, the way you're speaking it out, which I didn't really understand, that the Rav Chaim didn't seem to be speaking it out this way, although I should probably read Rav Chaim 5 or 6 times before I say this. But you were speaking it out as it's a much bigger klal, and therefore, it's more mistavra to speak it out the way the Rav Chaim is saying it, because it's just a bigger klal across Kol Zorah Kula, as opposed to a teretz in the Rambam himself here. But if that's the case, if this is a huge klal and Kol Zorah Kula, then, you know, like, what's the svar of the Ran? I mean, the Ran's not holding from this klal that the Rambam sees so pashut.
Okay, let me just see where you're going. So you're making it more local, and you're connecting it with that machleik is in the previous story. Okay, I have to think this through. I just have to have the pieces, but I didn't process it yet.
Okay.
All right, so I have to think about it, and we'll have to meet again on this. Okay.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right.
All right. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But you're saying that, I mean, that when it's talking about the hakama and hafara can't. You know, when the Gemara says that it can't exist, that's talking about the same person having it. You're saying that, but because it can exist when different people do
right.
it, that's no geter.
Right. I'm saying that because when you've got two different people, there's a machlokus whether you can have a hakama and a hafara existing at the same time between the Rambam and the Ran.
Mm-hmm.
That huadin that they would use that essence of what hakama and hafara are, that they can or can't exist at the same time, and bring it over into this situation here, even though here we're talking really about one person, and it's a difference. That's what I'm suggesting. I mean, there are a lot of ways to ask on what I'm saying.
Okay, but you clarify that. That's what you meant to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.